Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Once upon a time, you've heard that before. Well, that's going to be how I start stories from now on that happened before I was born. Once upon a time. It doesn't seem like all that long ago, but it is, where the church itself was literally the center of the community. When towns would spring up, that would be one of the first buildings built. And it was that way for a long, long time. And you'd look at the size, the physical size of a church building, and say, well, you know, that ain't really big. And yet, they'd have two services. There'd be 10, 12, 14 kids in every single grade level in Sunday school on Sunday. That was where people were. So as I began, once upon a time, there was one of these little churches before I was born. They called a pastor to the church. From all I understand, he was a very, very wonderful man. This was not his first call, so he was by far no rookie. He understood his ministry to the gospel, his ministry to the people in front of him. He knew it very well. Well, through the course of his ministry and in his first or second year of call, as the story goes, he found out about two divorced women in the township that had six unbaptized children. So he set up an appointment to come visit. They came, visited, and both women having, Christian background of some type, okay? When pastor offered to baptize the children, they said, absolutely. So he went back and he got everything that he needed, including, I believe it was a little crystal bowl about this big. And he went right out to the house. And he baptized those six children all at one time. From this high to this high. Baptized them all. I can't think of a more wonderful thing, can you? And yet when the church council heard about it, they were ready to throw him out by the seat of his pants. And that's not an exaggeration. They physically asked him to leave at the next council meeting. Because they had done such a thing without their permission. They needed to say whether or not someone was worthy of baptism outside of the congregation that were not a member of the church. Well, he held his ground. He got the bishop involved. The bishop came out. They had a lot of talks going back and forth. Finally, the dust started to settle down a little bit and things got calmer. They stayed contentious for the next two or three years, but he managed to hang in to that call long enough to really leave on his own terms. But I found that story to be truly eye-opening. Because we do attach a great deal of what and how we do things to our faith and doing it right. That is a human condition. We have a tendency to do it. I still catch myself doing it. And yet back then, it was the way it was. So now we have Peter, who goes out and shares the gospel with the Gentiles, the uncircumcised. And comes back and gets cornered by the Jewish believers, say, why did you bring this message to the uncircumcised? We're God's people. Circumcision was the physical sign of the people of Israel. Something that was given way, way, way back in the Bible. But yet the old covenant. They said, why did you do that? So he takes the time to explain a vision that said, what God has made pure and clean, I can't question. I can only obey. And as the story goes, if you read the print real well, it's one of the most interesting lines that I find with Peter in Acts. And that is, while he was talking to them, They were just listening. The Holy Spirit came upon them. God chose to give His Holy Spirit to them. Now, from that point, we don't know what they did with it. Just as we don't know what that baptism meant to those six children. But we do know that the Holy Spirit, in and through the baptism that we share, is a gift. And that is a word that we need to come to understand fully. That these are things that God gives. We do our level best to explain them. I go through, you know, church class, confirmation class, explaining the means of grace. And it's by which these means that God comes to us. And Holy Communion and Holy Baptism are those means. But they are gifts. It's not anything that we control. It's not anything that we can make happen. God chooses where and when, and He chooses to give this gift where and when He chooses. And He did so in today's first lesson. Explained it, they quieted down, much like my story of the pastor. They might not have been happy about it, but they understood it. And they let Peter alone. So how then are we recognized as Christians? How will people know who we are when we walk out on the street? When we get in our car and we travel 1,500, 2,000, 3,000 miles on vacation? Where we're someplace where they don't even speak the same language? How will they know who we are? And Jesus gives us that. And that is by our love for one another. A love that He gave to us. A love that God gave through Christ Jesus that is unshakable, unending, and an infinite supply. A law, as the psalmist said, a law given that shall never perish. And that is the love of God in and through our Lord Jesus. It never does. And that's how they know who we are. It's living in that love, living through that love, and expressing that love to our neighbor. Now, if you look in Corinthians and you look at the definition of love, there's a burden that goes along with that too, because love doesn't always mean that everything's going to turn out the way we want it. It's just that in here we have that compassion and that level of tolerance for one another and that forgiveness of one another that binds us together in Christ Jesus. And to reemphasize again, this is something that is freely given, and more importantly, this is something that is freely given to each and every one of you. Is that love, that gift, that strength, and the promise to take with you when you leave here, no matter where you go? When I think back about a congregation like that that would say, don't do that, I often think about the circumcised members that met Peter. Did they do it because they just wanted to be mean, or that was a little inclusive club? Or did they in their heart believe that their traditions within their church said, we can't do that. We got to safeguard this. We've got to protect it. We can't let it go. I don't know. I don't know what they were thinking. But I hope through grace and through time that we have come to the understanding that there is nothing that we can say or do that will justify us before God. Works and actions just don't work. Trying to make things right or thinking you're doing them right is a fine thing until Luther says it becomes a hindrance to the word and a stumbling block to the sacrament. That's when Luther had no use for it. And I agree with him. That it is this command of Christ, a free gift of love, unearned and unearnable, that God freely gives to you and me. So even though in my travels, and I'm sure in yours, We still run into those folks that says, well, you know, they don't pray right. Okay. All right. I mean, you hear that, okay? You don't pray right. Or you don't preach right. I've heard that. I get that once in a while. And yet, we're saved. We're forgiven. We're loved. And we're redeemed by one way and one way only, and that is God's grace through Christ. And that circumcision and all of the other commandments, all of the other ordinances were fulfilled in Him, and all that matters is the love of Christ in you and in me. That is the strength. That is the gift of God to you and I. And so, following and obeying the command of our Lord, we go forth to love one another. Amen.